Yes, by Reverend Martin Vanderwall. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Genesis 2, verse 16. So very many trees God planted in paradise, so many trees with their fruit God gave to the man and the woman for food. Theirs was a delicious variety to enjoy every day. They never had to go far for their food. As soon as they were only a little hungry, they might reach out with their hands to the fruit hanging right before them, and take and eat. Easily and quickly they might satisfy their hunger. They might eat as much as they wanted, whenever they wanted. They could say yes to their hunger, yes to the fruit before them, and yes to their God who so wonderfully provided the needs of their bodies, so they might live forever in paradise, eating gratefully of the abundant goodness of their Maker. So might the Lord God continue forever to sustain the life He gave them. To this plentiful provision of these trees with their fruit, there was only one exception. After his Maker gave Adam every tree of the garden for food to eat, he set one tree apart by his word. One tree God named the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Of that one tree, God said, No, thou shalt not eat of it. God joined to that forbidden act a terrifying, sober punishment. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Have you ever wondered why God planted that tree in the garden, why he distinguished it, and why he forbade its fruit to Adam? To answer those questions, we need not only to examine the awful history that followed man's disobedience and see that all took place under God's sovereign government. We need not only to consider his purpose to exhibit the wonder of his grace shining through that horrible fall, his glorious redemption shining through sin, through the tree of the cross. All that is true, shamefully, graciously true. But we must also see a purpose right then and there, a purpose that Adam could know, and a purpose that we must know. God planted that tree, which he would name the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. From its fruit Adam was forbidden to eat, so that his obedience might be full and complete. All Adam's life and walk before God might be a wholehearted yes. Even in his eating of the trees of the garden, Adam might constantly say yes, where his God said yes. But full and complete obedience must also be that Adam might say no, where God said no. Only one tree did God set apart. Only one no was there for Adam to say. But straight to that one tree and its forbidden fruit, Satan directed Eve's attention, comparing that tree to the others. Satan worked to destroy the contrast that God established by his holy commandment. Eve followed Satan's evil comparison, regarding the tree no longer in the light of God's word, but in her own darkening imagination. She saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Genesis 3, verse 6. Refusing to follow God's no, Eve said yes to Satan, and yes to the fruit of the tree. So she ate, and also gave to her husband with her. Our head followed, eating with his wife. He repeated, saying no to God and yes to Satan, and yes to the fruit of the tree. As was the crime, so was the punishment, Adam's death and the death of all in Adam. That death was spiritual death, punished with physical death. That spiritual death began immediately in them. No longer could they say yes to God, but only no. Adam's death was that he could only and always say yes to Satan and sin. His no was punished with no. His yes was punished with yes. Hear that no in Adam and Eve's fleeing from God and covering their shame with fig leaves and excuses. Hear it in their son's murder of his own brother and in the denial of that crime before God. hear their yes to Satan in all the sin and wickedness of the world's rebellion against God. But in that blackness and hopelessness of spiritual death, God worked salvation. When Adam said no, God still said yes. As God promised, so he provided. He provided the seed of the woman, the seed of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David. He gave his only begotten Son to be the second Adam, a new head for his covenant people. Wonderfully, perfectly, the Son followed the will of his Father in heaven. Wherever, whenever, and however God said yes, he said yes. Wherever, whenever, and however God said no, he said no. To every one of the devil's temptation, he said no. He said yes even when his Father led him to the tree of the cross, there to lay down his life for those who always said no. He continued to say yes even when he had nothing from his God but the bitterest dregs of the cup of God's wrath to drink down. By Jesus' suffering on that tree, his yes overcame and conquered our no. We sinners are made righteous in Christ. Our stubborn refusal and hard-hearted disobedience is covered with the blood of the obedient, willing Son. On that tree, he also purchased our life, the turning of our no into yes. So he works by his Spirit to renew us after his image. By that work of irresistible grace, we no longer say no to God, but yes. We seek him, to know him and rejoice in him as our God. We ask him to forgive all our no, and he tells us yes. I forgive you for the sake of my Son. And when he tells us to say no to Satan, sin, and self, we obediently say no. When he tells us his way, the death of faith, obedience, holiness, and righteousness, we willingly say, yes, that is the way for me. It becomes our heart's delight to do the will of our Father in heaven. Our great blessing is to say yes to our God, as many as the trees in paradise, minus one. He gives us every day so many opportunities to say yes. Daily he calls us to put our trust in him, and our blessing is to say, yes, I will put my trust in thee. Our trust is then strengthened by his constant supply of peace, hope, and joy. He feeds us, clothes us, protects, and guards us. He gives us patience in trials and gratitude in abundance. Daily he calls us to him, to wait on him. We say, yes, here I am, thy servant. He calls to us his service, and we say, yes, I will go. He calls to us to confess his name and his truth. We say, yes, I will speak. He calls us to obey his commandments. We say, yes, I will go and do. As we seek to please our God, fulfilling our affirmations, we must beware of Satan's attempts to draw our attention away from obedience to God. In his craft and subtlety, the devil tries to turn us to disobedience. By God's gift of prudence and discretion, we are able to see those temptations and say no to them. So we stand with God and his word. Our no to sin and our no to Satan is our yes to God. In the service of God, we also find sin within ourselves, especially when God calls us to deny ourselves and endure hardship and suffering. We find rebellion in our hearts, the word no rising from the old man of sin. By God's grace and through the promises of his word, we are able to deny our flesh and submit to God's will, saying yes to his all-wise will. Most wonderfully, whenever we say yes to our God, we hear him saying yes to us. We hear his yes as he expresses his delight in us, his children. We receive grace for grace, favor for favor, heaps upon heaps. We rejoice in him. Our desire to please him alone grows. We become less afraid of men, no longer dependent on their vain applause and affirmation. We look forward more and more to the day of our Lord's affirmation. Our confident hope is to hear our Lord say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant," Matthew 25, verse 21 and 23. We long more and more to hear from him, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world," Matthew 25, verse 34. So may we train and discipline ourselves to say yes. Let us turn our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our mouths, and our hands to blessed agreement with his word. In that turning, let us rejoice to know his yes in us, his mighty word that gives us our every yes to him.